You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for What's Up with Green Party co-leader Marama Davidson.
Morena Marama, how are you this morning?
Morena, I'm really good, thank you Rachel.
It's good to speak with you today, there's plenty to talk about. We'll get stuck straight into the fast track approvals bill. I'm sure people are now have at least heard about this happening, but I think that there's still a lot people don't understand about it necessarily. What are the Greens most concerned about with this particular bill's announcement?
This fast track legislation is a way to shortcut any of our environmental protections, and it's a way to profit from the exploitation of our natural resources. So that means that this government, again, is showing that it simply does not care about protecting our climate future, protecting our seabeds and natural environments, protecting community and local decision-making, and protecting Te Tiriti. This fast-track legislation is a massive swipe of power into the hands of three ministers. It's a way to ensure that there's a steady stream of projects that keep the pockets of this government's wealthy mates filled to the brim, and it will completely disregard any concerns. And some of these changes could be irreparable. Any concerns around protecting our environments and our democracy for future generations are being overridden by this proposal, this legislation.
So who are the three ministers that this kind of gets divulged over to?
It's infrastructure, it's regional development, and it's transport. And when I talk about transport, this government has shown it is more and more highways and more roads. So where is the climate minister? Where is the environment minister? Where is the conservation minister? Where is the Tiriti and Crown Māori relationships minister? Those are the concerns that I think everybody should have. This is simply about rich lobbying corporate interests having the ear, particularly of Minister Shane Jones. And he has already shown that he's vulnerable to that corporate capture, because his decision to step back from a seabed mining project was the result of him having those lobbies in his ear, his competing interests of his friends in the fishing industry and his friends in the mining lobby are at loggerheads. And so he's pulled himself back from that decision, from those discussions, because of his corporate capture and the competing lobbying corporate interests that are in both of his ears.
One thing I wanted to know from, you know, sitting in the House, what are other parties thinking about this? I think it's probably obvious to anybody that the Greens would be opposed to something like this, but where are the other opposition parties or even the National Party sitting in this conversation?
Yes, my questions have been going week after week to the Prime Minister to check how he's feeling. And we know that the tail is wagging the dog in this case. We know that has been happening over a range of legislation from New Zealand First and the ACT Party. You know, and I'm really speaking to people who may even be supporters of the National Party, who I know are cringing at a lot of the inherently violent legislation that is coming through. In this case, I wonder where the Blue Greens are at, you know? All of this absolute destructive legislation that has been proposed to mine seabeds, to open up oil and gas, for goodness sake, in the middle of a climate crisis. We know that Te Pāti Māori has long opposed, for example, seabed mining in the Taranaki, and I speak with Ben Māori Wapaka on that all the time. We know that the Labour Party has been questioning the abuse of power. This is unprecedented power. So while there is uproar and the Greens will continue to fight and highlight the terror of this legislation to the public, to you, the people, we know too that there must be even MPs, especially in the National Party, who are feeling quite cringe about this democratic overthrow and about the destruction to nature and the opening up of oil and gas in the middle of a climate crisis.
Well, it's definitely going to be one we'll keep following, but there's plenty of other things happening at the moment too. I just want to touch briefly on some of these public sector job cuts that we're seeing come into effect at the moment, particularly being based in Wellington part of the time, Marama. What's the sentiment on the ground there at the moment? That's obviously the sort of hub of a lot of those public sector jobs there. From looking at it from up in Tāmaki, it feels like a very stressful time in that space.
Really quite tragic for the people who are about to lose jobs. These are people who, like the rest of us, have got rents and mortgages to pay, families to care for. I've heard, and it won't be the only instance, but I've heard of an instance of both a husband and wife both losing their public sector jobs, and that will not be the only instance. And so you have got entire families and communities being thrown into very immediate crisis, Rachel. And I really do want to acknowledge that, because there has not been any thinking from this government that their budget cuts are going to have human impacts. And under the guise of trying to save money, these budget cuts are going to require more support for these people whose lives are impacted right now, who could be needing to seek income support, housing support, even just being able to pay bills, food, groceries, healthcare, and so on. So I don't know why this government thought it was going to be able to have any cost savings. Not to mention, we need a strong public service now more than ever. We're seeing... And I think today we're going to see some updates from the Department of Conservation. The Ministry for the Environment has already started pulling for voluntary redundancies. We are seeing our social services lose jobs. I think today, Rachel, we're going to be hearing about media job losses as well. None of, like, they are creating more problems.
Why?
With their shallow rhetoric.
It seems very dramatic for folks sitting outside of the discussion around why it's happening in the first place. Is it something that is necessary? Is a certain level of job loss at this stage necessary, in your opinion?
No, what this is about National scrambling for the money to fund its tax breaks and tax cuts for wealthy people, for landlords, for people who are already making loads of money off the backs of people and communities and the environment, I have to say. So that's what... No, we have enough, Rachel, to have a strong, well-funded, quality public service system. It is political decisions that, instead of choosing to rebalance wealth in this country, where we know, for example, that 311 families collectively own more than $385 billion, like, that is not sustainable. Meantime, hundreds of thousands of households are struggling, even in paid employment, struggling to pay the bills and put food on the table. This government could make a decision to actually tap into the resources that we have here. We've got enough. Instead, they are choosing to cut and slash public services to be able to hold up their bargain of dangling a carrot in front of rich people. That is why this is happening, Rachel, and it is completely unnecessary.
Well, just briefly before we let you go, Marama, so much to talk about at the moment, but I did want to talk about Winston Peters speaking with United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres overnight about what's happening in Gaza at the moment, also about the Asia-Pacific region as well. This has perhaps been something that people have been waiting for a long time, is this conversation, and what has Winston been talking about? Is it something that you and your party has been pleased to hear?
We are absolutely welcoming his strong language about blimmin' time. This has been 6 months, Rachel, of an absolute massacre and genocide of civilians, including women and children, but people just trying to live and survive. 33,000, the majority of that women and children, having been massacred. That does not take into account the many, many more thousands still buried under rubble, the many, many thousands and generational impact of injuries and trauma and loss, and the current humanitarian situation, which is people literally dying of starvation, lack of water, lack of clean sanitation services, healthcare facilities, no hospitals, and so on and so on. This has been happening in front of our eyes. I wish Mr. Peters had fronted up with his strong language many thousands of deaths ago. It was clear for the rest of us what the writing on the wall was. It was always going to lead to nothing but destruction. The world could have used its levers many months ago. New Zealand could have used its platform and its influence many months ago. So we're pleased to see it. It took too blimmin' long. Now we could be putting some action behind those strong words where Winston Peters has been quite clear in calling for an end, a ceasefire, and to ensure aid gets through. But we also need to come through with a special visa for people trying to leave the harms of Gaza and Palestine. We need to support the case in the International Court of Justice. We need to support South Africa to bring accountability for this genocide. And that's just two of many things that this government could practically do to support Palestinians and Gaza from the throes and the horrors of this genocide.
Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Marama. It's been great to speak with you. We will talk to you again in a couple of weeks. Take care until then.
Kia ora, Rachel. Ka kite.
Ka kite.
That was What's Up with Green Party co-leader Marama Davidson.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.